The text for this morning's sermon comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 11. You just heard it. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start by making a confession. I've never been to prison. It's true. I know I seem like the type, but I've never done time. I've never been incarcerated. I've found that I'm fascinated with prison anyway. It seems like anytime I'm home from class on a break and cable television is at my disposal, I end up watching a show called Lockup on MSNBC. Are you guys familiar with Lockup? For those of you who aren't, it's pretty simple. The show is basically just a camera crew following around inmates during their typical days in prison. There's no catch, there's no gimmick. It's just prisoners doing their time in prison. And it's absolutely riveting to me. I can watch it for like 4 hours in a row. And I've always enjoyed prison movies too. The Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile and Escape from Alcatraz have always been among my favorites. They're the kind of movies I'll always watch if I'm flipping channels and stumble upon them. Prison, or at least depictions of prison, have always fascinated me. And I've never really thought about why that was the case until just recently. And here's my conclusion. I think that prison fascinates me for the same reason that millions of people love Star Wars and Back to the Future. Depictions of prison, like these sci-fi films, take us to a completely different world than the one in which we live. The rules have changed. Things don't look familiar to us. Existence itself takes on a completely different meaning. In science fiction, there's time travel and lightsabers and space aliens, and in many ways, prison is just as strange. It's just as foreign. Here's what I mean. In my 26 years, I've never known captivity. I'm sure most of you are in the same boat. I mean, I've never really known captivity. I've had 26 years of freedom and choice. And of course, I've lived with rules, I've lived with governance and structure, but I've always had the ability to walk out my front door. And you probably have too. I don't know what it's like to be locked up. I've never been bound. I've never been enslaved or imprisoned. Every day, I have the opportunity to make decisions. What I eat, what I wear, where I go, who I associate with. While an incarcerated man is given almost no choices. They eat what's been cooked for them. They wear what's been given to them. They go where they're told to go. See, I get to plan and prepare for a future full of unknown possibilities. While a man serving a life sentence knows pretty much exactly what his future holds, and it's pretty bleak. See, prison is fascinating to me because it all but redefines what it means to live life. Now, sure, a prisoner is alive, but they're not living, at least not in the fullest sense. A prisoner is just kind of existing. So these prison shows and movies remind me that it's an amazing thing to live. Not just exist, but live. See, today's sermon text from Romans chapter 6 is all about living. It's about living in Christ. It's about living in newness. It's about living in freedom. It's about living, not existing. It's about being liberated, not incarcerated. And this passage makes it very clear to us that this life shouldn't be taken for granted, and that the freedom we enjoy wasn't free. It was earned. It was bought. We all know the story. The Son of God came to earth, and he was ridiculed, and he was beaten, and he was killed. But he didn't stay dead. He arose from the dead, and he lived again. And then this resurrected and living Jesus told his disciples to make more disciples by means of baptism. Then the same Jesus appointed a man named Paul to tell us what this baptism is all about. And that brings us to our text from Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 is about dying, but more importantly, it's about living. St. Paul tells us that baptism connects us with Christ. It connects us with Christ's death, and it connects us to Christ's resurrection. In baptism, we are killed and given new life. That's what Paul tells us. Now, I'm not even going to stand up here and pretend that I can explain how all that works. That through baptism, we're united with Christ, that in baptism we die and rise again. I'm just a seminarian. I'm still paying tuition. I can't explain it. I can't even begin to explain the depth of St. Paul's words. But let me tell you, I believe them, and I hold to them, and it's my prayer that you do as well. So when we die in baptism, what kind of life are we dying to? After all, you have to be living in some form to die. What kind of life ends in baptism? Paul tells us that we died to a life of sin. We die to a life of corruption and dysfunction. We die to a life of being held captive by the devil and his schemes. We died to a life that was inevitably ending in death. We essentially died to the life of a death row inmate. I've been talking a lot about prison and prisoners today. Imagine the life of a death row inmate. Consider the hopelessness of that situation. That's a situation we would all be in without Jesus. That's the life that baptism saves us from. In baptism, Jesus is telling us the imprisonment of sin and death are no longer our fate. Instead, our fate is freedom and grace and life, eternal life. We say that word a lot. What do you think of when you hear eternal life? When does eternal life start? Does it start when you've breathed your last breath? Does it start when Christ returns to raise you up on the last day? What if I told you that eternal life has already started, that it begun in your baptism? What if I told you that you are already living eternal life? That you are, as verse 4 puts it, walking in newness of life. That you are, as verse 11 puts it, alive to God. After all, what is eternal life but being united to Christ and alive to your heavenly Father? Now, sure, we will wait for Christ to return and restore his creation and gather his sheep, but make no mistake, for you, the baptized and believing children of God, eternal life has already begun. God has made you that promise in your baptism. You are his. He has given you life, not the life of a prisoner, not a mere existence, but a life to live. We're not here to run out the clock until Christ returns, waiting for eternal life to begin. It has begun. Eternal life has begun. We need to start acting like it. God has proclaimed us innocent. He has made us free. So how dare we live like we're on death row? God has given us a beautiful new life and a purpose to match. We live in a world with billions of prisoners. We live in a world of people who are existing, but not living eternal life. And that is a great, great tragedy. Jesus died to save all people, to free all prisoners. Our God-given purpose is to show these prisoners the way to freedom, to show them Christ, to lead them to baptism. As I mentioned earlier, I love the movie The Shawshank Redemption. There's a scene near the end of the film where the two main characters, Red and Andy, are having a very frank discussion about hope and the future. Andy concludes the conversation by saying that he has two simple choices. He can get busy living or get busy dying. Dear friends, death has no power over you. Eternal life has begun. So get busy living. Amen.